What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
And we are back. This is the WFNY Browns cast. I'm your host, Joe Gilbert. I'm with Taylor Jez. And we're part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. For first-time depositors, enter in the code WFNY at checkout, and Underdog will match up your deposit up to $100. It's a great platform if you're tired of the DFS salary system. There are tons of different game types and drafts every night of the week for every sport. Don't forget to use WFNY at checkout to get your first-time deposit matched up to $100. That is Underdog Fantasy, our sponsor for today. Taylor, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm pretty good. My voice might come across kind of shot today. I've been dealing with some sickness, but other than that, I should be fine.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's, before we kind of head into this week, a lot of to happen in this week. Let's kind of go back to kind of, I would say the kind of biggest win of the season in my opinion, but, what's your any kind of thoughts, final thoughts? I know our podcast kind of ended abruptly last week.
Yeah.
or on Sunday. So any final thoughts you had about last week's victory, or actually this Sunday, last Sunday's victory?
I don't know. Just the more we've kind of let it simmer and let it kind of bleed in, just letting – how cool it was to have let Jacoby have that moment.
Yeah.
Let him see him get that moment. The videos of him celebrating when they scored. Yeah. Like, it was, he deserved to win more than he lost. Mm-hmm. And the unfortunate part is he was 4-7 when he could have been 6-5 as a starting quarterback this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's just other things got in the way, but it certainly wasn't him. So I'm glad that he got to go off at a win. I'm glad that he got to go off on a win at home where the fans could show appreciation.
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt like, and we said this a lot on Sunday, it felt like it certainly felt like a win that could shift the vibes in the locker room, in the franchise.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, it just seems a more upbeat kind of locker room this week. Yeah. I think there's a couple of reasons for that, but one of them is definitely that win and kind of, we talked about it on Sunday. It just showed something that the team hasn't showed all year. It's just that kind of fight, that heart, that never give in to the adversity. Because they could have just laid down multiple times during that game. But they didn't. Yeah. Defense played well, special teams played well overall, and the offense did just enough at the end to kind of win it for them. It was just a nice team win. And as you said, it was nice to kind of get Jacoby that his final win as starter, with the Browns. And, I don't know if everybody has seen the mic'd up video of Jacoby, but it just seems like he's just beloved in that locker room. So it was great to see him kind of get that W.
I also learned that Jacoby Brissett really likes the phrase "F yeah."
he does. that is yes. If you listen to that, yeah, that is used a lot.
I think that's about 70% of what he says.
Yeah, that was funny too. Yeah, but it was neat to see. With that, it's kind of now the passing of the torch to what the Cleveland Browns hope to be their franchise quarterback. Deshaun Watson, he returns this week off of the 11-game suspension due to the sexual assault allegations. So he is returning after not playing about 2 years of no regular season football. So yep. It's gonna be interesting to see how he plays. First of all, what's your thoughts on just how you think he will kind of play in regards to how he usually plays? Do you think he'll be a little rusty? What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it'd be naive to say he's going to come out and look like he did in 2020,
right,
when he threw for 4,500 yards or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Right out of the gate. I mean, if there's any team that he can come out and dominate and get his feet back under him, it's a Texans team that doesn't look like they want to play football right now. They just kind of want to lose and get to the draft.
Yeah, exactly.
They have the pieces around him where the Texans had great receivers at the time. I don't think they had a full complementary offense at that point. I think they had to throw the ball to move the ball. I don't think they could really run the ball back then. Granted, I haven't been really looking at how the 2020 Texans did. I know they were 4-12.
Yeah.
But you know, he should be able to come in and at least, I mean, as long as he's good as Jacoby Brissett, I don't think there's going to be a problem. Obviously, mm-hmm. you want him to be better than Jacoby Brissett, but he hasn't played football in so long that, like, that should be your baseline.
Yeah.
And obviously, if he comes out and throws a pick on his first possession this week,
oh God,
people are going to – the Browns Twitter is going to go into all-time meltdown mode.
But, oh, God. I think NFL Twitter will just explode.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The number of people rooting against the Browns is going to be at an all-time high this week.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever been as many people rooting against the Browns as there will be this week.
Exactly.
And yeah, for the rest of the season. When they play the Bengals in a couple weeks, that's going to be toxic on Twitter.
Mm.
It's going to be toxic in the state of Ohio. I'm glad I'm not in the state of Ohio for that one. It's just going to be rough.
Yeah.
They'll play the Ravens the week after. Also going to be toxic on Twitter.
Mm.
Maybe the lesson here is to stay off Twitter. I think they should. I mean, I think he should come out and look like at least 75% of himself. I think it'd be unfair to come out and expect him to be the best quarterback in the league after not playing for, what is it? He missed 17 games, 28 straight games.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, let's see. Let me look him up here. I definitely agree with you on all that. I think, yeah, definitely the baseline will be Jacoby Brissett. I'll give you that.
Just don't go out there and lose the game.
Right.
It would be astronomically hard to go out and lose the game against the Texans.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
But that being said, the Browns have found ways to lose harder games.
Yeah.
Where it was even more impossible to lose. So, like, yeah, that Jets game a couple of years ago, even though they had no receivers.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the recipe is all there. I saw some interesting stuff from Jake Burns on Twitter this week where they definitely have been installing plays in the playbook that look like they're made for Deshaun, and they're just kind of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving defenses a look of one thing, and then Deshaun will change it. It's going to be – I don't even – hopefully they're able to get out to a big enough lead in this game that they don't have to show off a whole bunch of what they have. Because a Bengals defense that already struggles stopping the Browns for whatever reason,
right?
I don't like it. The less amount of film you can give them, the better.
Mm.
I mean, they're probably already watching 2020 Texans film. So,
yeah, that's very true. So I just looked at it. So January 3rd, 2021 was his last regular season game. So we're just We're going to be about, let's see, what's Sunday?
That's, it'll be 23 months.
The 4th. Yeah.
It'll be 23 months. Months.
Yeah, almost in a day.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I definitely agree. He's definitely, his baseline has to be kind of Jacoby Brissett. But I also think that even if he's like, if he plays at the level of Jacoby Brissett, his threat is going to be more than what Brissett wished he could be. Which opens up the rest of the offense. I think it just, his presence will probably will definitely open up the kind of the offense a little bit more. The run game, I think, will be even better because you now have a guy who can be a dual threat. You can't, like, I think as you were saying, Jake Burns showed a play last week, I think it was, where it was a
It was wide zone to the left.
Yeah, and it was an option, and Brissett handed it off, and the whole defense went left, and the right side was just wide open for the quarterback to keep it and kind of go to the right. So
yeah,
it just shows kind of they wouldn't. I would imagine the defense wouldn't do that if Watson was back there. So. It just it kind of his threat, if he just plays like Jacoby Brissett did, and adding on to his presence on the field, I think that's an improvement even over Jacoby, even if he doesn't play up to his standards. So that's I think that's the kind of a thing to kind of watch too. But how do you, so we as you were saying, the team has been installing things over the past couple weeks. What do you think? Do you think we'll see a kind of a big change in play calling and how they kind of go about with pass calls and run calls and all that?
I think the main thing you're going to see is a lot more runs out of shotgun.
Yep.
Because that's just kind of where that offense works better with a quarterback that can move and has the accuracy out on the edges like Deshaun Watson has. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see more RPO than you ever did.
Yeah.
Baker did it. He did it pretty well at times, especially at the end of 2020. But that, I think, more than anything, the RPO is what's going to keep boxes from being 8-9 guys.
Yeah.
Because you can't commit that much to the run and then just have Amari Cooper running a slant against one dude.
Yeah.
Like, because he'll just toast him.
Yeah.
Like he does almost every week to people.
Yeah.
We
saw it last week.
Yeah. So, like, you're going to see facets of the offense that they haven't been able to do. I doubt we're going to see a whole lot of designed quarterback run.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson is athletic. He's not a runner like that. He can move. He's not Josh Allen.
Right. You don't want him taking pounding. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. No. I agree with that.
No. And we still don't know where the health of the offensive line is. So, it's going to be the offense that we've seen cranked up a couple notches. I think. Mm. I think you're gonna see a lot. I could foresee a lot more, like no huddle kind of stuff. Just keeping defensive personnel gassed.
Yeah.
Because gassed personnel does not do good against the option when it comes down to it. So,
yeah.
I guess we'll get a better indication of what that is. I doubt they're going to use their best stuff this week.
Mm-hmm.
You want to keep that for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Because that's a game you need. Obviously you need this game, but, and I noticed in your rundown, you put Texans strengths. They don't really have any. They don't really have any. Their running back is pretty good, and that could hurt the Browns. But
yeah,
no, they don't have very many. So, like, the hope is you don't need a whole lot of bells and whistles to beat this team.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree. I think they're not going to open up the full playbook. But I do think we will see more verticality in this offense because now we have Watson, who has a really good arm. And is not afraid to throw it downfield. We'll see more deep shots. I think more kind of vertical play down the field. We haven't seen like Njoku is such a freak athlete. I think we haven't really truly seen his like true like dynamic self he can be because he can be a mismatch down the field, down the middle of the field. But Brissett's not that guy that kind of wants to test the.
He doesn't want to take the gap shots. He doesn't want to try to fit things in when there's other things there. The times where he did try to fit things in, it worked for the most part.
It was mostly down the sidelines too.
Like, yeah,
because down the middle is you got defenders coming from both sides, so there's. There's a lot more bad things could happen down the middle of the field. So that's
I say he doesn't want to throw into tight windows, but I keep thinking about that throw he made in the Dolphins game. But I think you're going to see an offense that maybe is a little bit more wide open and less buttoned up. Like even Baker in the tail end of 2020 had a more wide open offense because he was feeling it and Stefanski trusted him a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what happened there, whether it truly was the injury or there was something else going on. And this is not an argument that they should have kept Baker. I think that ship has long since sailed. I would even say that they got better play out of Jacoby Brissett than they would have at Baker this year. So, and that's not a ringing endorsement for Baker.
I think Carolina can tell us that too.
Yeah, no, trust me, I know. I mean, when your choice is Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, and you choose Sam Darnold, that kind of tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, yeah,
but. I just feel like it's gonna be a different offense the more we get into it. I think if people come out this weekend and expect it to look like the Cardinals where they're running and gunning everywhere, don't expect that. This is still
a work in progress.
Yeah. I could see them. I mean, it's not even ever gonna be the Chiefs because the Chiefs don't have a threatening running game. I don't know who to really compare it to. The Browns have the potential to kind of carve their own niche out.
Yeah.
And be potent on both sides of the offense. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of, is Deshaun Watson still the quarterback that he was? Will the line stay healthy? And going forward, not the rest of this year, but after this year, what does the offense look like when Nick Chubb is the only running back? I know we shouldn't be talking about next year already, but like, I think playoffs, unless they win their next three games, are highly unlikely. If they win their next three games, they're not highly unlikely anymore. They're still unlikely, but this. The way that I'm going to kind of treat this, unless they go on a 6-game winning streak to close the season, the way I'm going to treat this is I forget even what year it was. Was it the 2016 or 17 49ers that they started their last 6 or 7 games with Garoppolo and they looked like a different team and they started winning games at the end of the year and then they went to the Super Bowl the next year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to say the Browns are going to go to the Super Bowl because they obviously have no track record of that. but
yeah,
I mean, that's kind of where you're at because if they were 6-5 right now, you'd be saying if you win 4 of your last 6,
right? Yeah.
You're probably in the playoffs, but
Like right now, you got to be perfect and get help.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, and you can help yourself by beating the Ravens or the yeah. Bengals. Mm-hmm. The sad part is they could very well go 5-1 in their division and that be most of their wins.
Right.
That would be their best division record, I think, since they came back.
I would assume so. I can't imagine they would have 5-1 record.
and that's not even saying that they're going to beat Cincinnati or Baltimore, but
yeah,
they've already shown they can beat Cincinnati, and they've shown they can beat Baltimore, and now they have a different offense, different offense going into it. So,
right.
Like, the season is still there for them. It's just a matter of can they pull it off? Can their defense stay consistent enough to keep the offense in games? I mean, I think one of the things that that's going to change about this offense is a 7-point deficit isn't going to feel like the end of the world anymore.
Right.
Because I think there's going to be so many more ways for them to attack other defenses that you're not going to have the middle of the game bogged down like we've seen.
Right. And quicker too. They can score quicker. You would think.
Yeah.
That kind of brings me up to actually the kind of how it'll be interesting to see how Stefanski's mindset kind of changes. I felt like he could have been maybe kind of a little hesitant to kind of push the envelope on decisions to go for it, or I wonder if he kind of extends his fourth down range. It'll be interesting to see if any of that calculations kind of change.
Well, the thing we don't know, and mm-hmm. what we do know is that the meeting between Stefanski and Deshaun Watson,
mm-hmm.
the football only X's and O's meeting that they had in March,
right?
Obviously excited Deshaun Watson enough to leave the Browns in the conversation.
Yeah.
So whatever was said in that meeting, which we won't know until if they win their next six games, I'm sure someone will say, hey, what was in that meeting?
Yeah, right, right. It'll come out, yeah.
But if whatever he had planned for Deshaun Watson after watching film on him and seeing how and showing him how he can work in this offense – excited Deshaun Watson enough to come here or to go to Cleveland, there was obviously something more that we haven't seen. And
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.
It's not like we could even go back and see that there's no precedent for how Stefanski handles this with a quarterback of that caliber.
Yeah.
The most mobile quarterback that that offense has ever seen with him as a coach would have been Teddy Bridgewater back in Minnesota. He's not mobile anymore because his knee exploded.
Right.
But he was mobile his rookie year, and you know he was pretty good. I haven't gone back to 2015 and watched film, but Bridgewater was good, and then had his career derailed by a traumatic knee injury.
Right.
So, I think it's going to be a side of that offense that we haven't seen. I wouldn't be surprised if it. Actually, you know what? This is probably the best comparison. When Kaepernick was hot with the 49ers, Kaepernick is a better runner than Deshaun Watson, but the threat is still there with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And the 49ers could run the ball at the time. And they had their receivers, and like they were going up and down the field on people because there was no way to stop them. Like, so like, obviously, am I going to say they're going to go out and run or go for 500 yards against the Texans this weekend? Right. No.
Yeah.
But the potential is there for them to have a completely different dynamic offense.
Yeah.
And this is why you go out and make that trade and mortgage so much of your future and mortgage so much of your goodwill.
Yeah.
You probably actually mortgage more goodwill than you do your future.
Right.
Because if you're good, the first round picks don't matter.
Right.
But you've taken so much goodwill hit and you've taken so much of a PR hit. And you don't have like neutral fans aren't going to root for you anymore. Not that that matters to anyone, but like it's a different thing on it's just different. It feels different to be a Browns fan and to be a member of the Browns than it did in February.
Right. You're not that lovable kind of fan base. They're always down on their luck and
it's different. And will that fade with time? I don't know. Ask the Steelers fans.
Yeah.
The only people
who remember, about a season.
The only people who remembered that at the end were the rest of the AFC North.
Yeah.
The only people that were calling that out by the end were the rest of the AFC North. So,
yeah.
You know, time, I'm not going to say time heals it, but time makes it fade. Yeah, other controversies will make it fade. Antonio Brown's still doing things. And making it fade doesn't mean that my opinion of him is ever going to change. But it's, you know, I'm a Browns fan, and like, it's what it is. Like, it's unfortunately that's the decision that we were put in when this happened.
Right.
So, like, people who I know people who don't watch the Browns anymore because of it, and that, you know what? It's fine. I get
it. Fine. Yeah, I get it too.
I get it. It's not me. I'm not going to support Deshaun Watson the person. It's going to be hard to support Deshaun Watson the football player. But, you know, that's the reality of the NFL, that it's more about the it's more about the means, the ends than the means.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to kind of end the, that part of it. Yeah. So moving kind of to the Texans, you briefly spoke on it, strengths and weaknesses of them. Just based on PFF, they're bottom three, I believe, of both offense and defense. Hey, but their special teams is number two. So,
well, they punt the ball so much. I would hope so.
I know, right? Right. Yeah. We're not going to dive too much into the Texans here because they are pretty bad.
I feel like if you stop Damon Pierce or Damian Pierce,
you pretty much have a good shot at winning. Right.
Yeah.
I think I haven't heard officially, but is Kyle Allen still the starter?
Yeah, he's still going to start.
Okay. So yeah, Kyle Allen, who has been around the block, and the receiving core has Brandon Cooks, but you gotta complete passes to get it to him.
He's also listed as questionable. I don't know. Right. I don't know how like questionable that is.
So it looks like I have the injuries up here. So it looks like Brandon Cooks was non-related rest. So I'm guessing he'll probably play, but we'll see.
I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Other than that, did not practice Stingley, their first round pick, did not practice. And then Rex Burkhead did not practice.
Rex Burkhead is exactly the kind of guy that would beat the Browns too.
It's very, very true. Very true.
I've watched Kyle Juszczyk do too many mean things to the Browns in the past.
Very true. That is a very true statement. But yeah, the Texans are bad. They're probably the worst team in the league.
I mean, there's not very much competition right now either.
Right. Yeah, I thought Carolina was bad, but hey, they could make the playoffs now. Who knows?
So Carolina is bad. They're just the kind of bad that gets you stuck in purgatory.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not quite good enough to be a top five pick, or not quite enough bad enough to be top five pick, but not good enough to be even close to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans are two games clear of everyone else for the first pick right now.
I don't think anyone's really going to catch them.
No.
I mean, it shows them how bad they are. They're in the worst division, and they're just not even close. That's the worst division in football, and I don't know.
Yeah.
They just had no chance.
Yeah, I mean, they could easily be 1-10 right now if the Colts knew what they were doing in Week 1.
Like, to be fair, like this, the Houston Texans are pretty much going with the Browns playbook. they're tanking. They tanked last year and they're tanking this year. They have pretty much cut bait on most of their roster, the good players. I don't know why they keep Brandon Cooks around. He doesn't want to be there, and I'm not sure what he's kind of doing there. But yeah. Beyond him, it's very much looking like what the Browns did a couple years ago when they kind of try to lose and get the top picks, which Houston looks like they're in line to do here. Go ahead.
If there was any game the rest of the season they'd want to win, it'd be this one. Because it helps their draft stock somehow.
One way or another, yes, it does.
I guess it's kind of a win-win. They either make their own draft pick better or they make their other draft pick better.
Right. It's a win-win situation here.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that the Browns probably – I mean, the Browns, I think – More likely than not, I think finish under 500, but under 500 is still 8-9 right now.
Right. I'll never get used to that.
Yeah, no, it's weird. Which obviously was not the goal coming into the season, but I think once the 11-game suspension was handed down, the playoffs became really, really tough to manage. Had they won a couple of those games that they lost, it'd be a lot different story now, but they didn't. So as much as we can dwell on them and point at them and say that's the issue, in the end, it's a loss. So
Damian Pierce, as you said, is the kind of their best player, right, or their centerpiece pretty much of their offense.
Yeah, he's been their bright spot.
Yeah. He's a rookie, so
yeah.
Other than that, their defense is pretty bad. They give up a lot of rushing yards. So this could be a very good game for Nick Chubb. Should be a very good game for Nick Chubb.
Most games should be a good game for Nick Chubb.
True. Yeah.
And especially now with the box not being stacked.
Yeah.
They're one of the only teams in the league that give up more yards per game rushing than the Browns do. So.
That shows you. Oh my god!
And not only that, they give up 37 more per game on average than the Browns do. They're giving up 169 on the ground a game. Like
that's incredible.
Do they even need to pass? I mean, they're giving up 230 through the air. So like, they're basically a Big 12 defense in the NFL. They're giving up 400 yards a game on total.
Yeah. So it's gonna be It should be a game that the Browns are very well suited to kind of easily win, but you know the Browns.
The Browns have been kind of searching for a get-right game for a while.
Yeah, true.
I mean, Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, Bengals, Dolphins, Bills, Bucks. Like, there's no get-right games mixed in there. Had the schedule been mixed up just a little bit to get it's like, even if the Steelers had come between the Bengals and the Dolphins,
right?
Like, you have some potential to, you know, like kind of right the ship, but they had just such a gauntlet in the middle of the season.
Yeah, they really did. Yeah, their first four games were kind of, if they could have split, kind of put them, mingled them in more, it would have been probably better.
I mean, they were they were 2 plays away from 4-1.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, it's just the NFL this year has been on the edge all the season. Mm-hmm. There's not, aside from the Texans, the other 31 teams, it doesn't feel like there's a whole big difference between them.
Right.
Yeah. Because even the Chiefs are getting pushed to the limit by teams they shouldn't. Who the Chiefs lost to someone weird. It was the Colts. The Chiefs lost to the Colts, and the Colts don't look like what they're doing. They don't look like they know what they're doing half the time.
It's a weird year. Definitely a weird year. Okay, so heading past the Texans. So Browns health-wise, we had a couple did not practice. Yeah, actually, this is one of the more healthier weeks on pretty much. Hewlett.
Hard to believe.
Right, I know. Charlie Hewlett, the long snapper, was sick, so I assume he would play if it's not COVID related or whatever, which it didn't.
Man, if he doesn't play, he's been their long snapper since Ryan Pointbreon retired.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. I don't know who the backup is.
they might go sign someone.
Yeah. Yeah. David Njoku did not practice, but I think he's just going to, probably the rest of the year, I would assume he's not going to practice much. Kind of just to keep him healthy. And then Denzel Ward did not practice either. He is dealing with an ankle and a hamstring issue. So that's something to kind of watch as we go in.
Yeah.
Before we get to our keys to victory, let's kind of just talk briefly about, I think there's advantages all over, but just on offense for the Browns, I would assume you're going to agree with me that running the ball heavily would be the way to go here against the Texans.
And you could even run the same offense you have been. I don't know if that's because they're in such a win now mode that withholding something for another game seems disingenuous, but if they didn't break out the Deshaun offense until next week, I wouldn't be surprised.
I could see that. Yeah. I think it's going to be early on. I think they'll kind of, if they see, okay, I think we can get this done. We won't see as much of a expanded offense as we will the following weeks, but yeah.
Plus, it'll give another week to install it. They've had 2 weeks now, I think. Mm-hmm. We're in our third. He's in his third week of being able to practice with the team. His first week is practicing as the starting quarterback.
Right.
So, you know, it's going to take some time to get the chemistry down. So I don't know if introducing everyone to new plays while they're trying to figure that out is might be the best way to do it.
Right. Yeah. And then on defense, it's basically stop Damian Pierce.
Yeah, I mean, do whatever you did last week.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe kind of go on what teams did to you.
Yeah.
Run that bear style defense 5-2 up front and make Kyle Allen beat you. Like,
yeah.
It should be hard. Like the strategy again for this game should not be hard. This is the worst team in the league, and the Browns should take care of business just based on their talent level.
Yeah, I mean,
talent should carry them over.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be the hope. I mean, yeah. This is catastrophic fire people on Monday kind of loss if you lose.
Oh, yeah. If we see bad Joe Woods defense, oh boy.
Yeah. Like this isn't a team that you should lose to.
No, no. Keys to victory. Mine is basically run the ball. Don't give any easy opportunities. Don't turn it over. Just don't play stupid.
Yeah, don't. That would be my number one. Don't screw it up.
Yeah, don't play Brownsy football.
Please. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be
actually the king of Browns football this year is actually the Ravens, but
that's true. Yeah, they can't finish.
Yeah, I was watching those clips today, and I was like, "Wow, this is the third time they've done that this year, and they almost did it a fourth." They truly are embracing their Browns heritage.
They really are. Yeah, it's very odd. Yeah. Yeah, it's a simple game plan. Just play smart football. Don't do stupid things. Special teams. Don't be catastrophic. And take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a game. Like, obviously, this phrase is a little bit facetious in a way, but like, this isn't a game where you need like your A+ game.
Right.
That doesn't mean you go all out, but like you just kind of need to not beat yourself.
Yeah.
Just do what you do and go home with a win.
And the tough thing is that the Browns have beat themselves
many
times this year. So it's not something to kind of shoo away. Like it's
yeah.
they have to do it.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
So, yeah, those are the pretty simple keys to victory here. Okay, so getting to our prop bets for the last week. We both did pretty well. Taylor, you did 6-2. I was 5-3. So Browns were +3.5, and you actually chose the Browns 23-17. So you were right on that. I was correct on the 42.5 points because it was under. It hit 40, so I was right around that. So I was right on that one.
Vegas stays winning.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how they do it, but it's always like 3 or 4 points away from.
Yeah, on either side.
Right, on either side. Tom Brady, 274.5 passing yards in the game. He was under that, 246, and we both had that correct.
We thought there'd be a lot more rushing yards involved.
Right, but we did. We did. Jacoby Brissett, 223.5. Passing yards, we were both wrong. We thought
he actually struggled a good bit during the game.
Yeah. I think 60 or 70 might have been in the fourth quarter in overtime.
He probably, I think, in the final two drives of the fourth quarter and the game winning drive in overtime, I think probably accounted for about 120, 130 yards.
Yeah. It's kind of,
yeah. So like I remember seeing the stat early in the fourth quarter, he was like
115 or 120.
He was like 11 of 24 for 88.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it was not good.
No, yeah, the offense was.
His interception doesn't count because it was on a Hail Mary. But
yeah, the offense was stuck for most of the game, and yeah. So he almost beat that total, but just got under at 210. Nick Chubb crushed his 76.5 rushing yards. We were both right on that.
Yeah, he had to, or they wouldn't have had a chance.
Right. Yeah.
And there was a small part of me that was like, if they lose this game, If they're going to lose this game, please let them do it with Nick Chubb having 20 or more carries. Because I just want that stat to die.
This, I know, right? It's such the most meaningless stat ever.
Yeah, because, like, obviously if they're winning a game or they have a chance to win a game, Frank's going to run the ball more. Yeah. Like, this isn't rocket science. It's what it is. Like,
right. I know. I agree with you on that one.
And, I was actively thinking this during the game. I was like, God, I hate myself, but if they're going to lose this game,
there will be one
Chubb have 21 carries.
Make it that. Oh man, that I also thought of that too. That was funny. Amari Cooper over under 62.5 receiving yards. He had 94. We were both right on that.
He had 46 on one play.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He was almost under that. So. Yeah. Over under 90 total rushing yards for the Bucks. This number was pretty funny. So it was 96.
Yeah.
Just over. So we were both right on that. I think we were both over on 100. I think we predicted, which
yeah. I think after seeing 54 rushing yards on the first drive,
yeah,
like that over seemed like it was going to hit easily, but you know, they had it was 56 yards on the first drive and then 40 the rest of the drive. And 15 of those came on one reverse.
Yeah.
So they had, I think it was, what would have been? I think it was 10 carries for 25 yards.
Yeah.
That weren't Julio Jones reverse or on that first drive. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the Bucs didn't try to run the ball a whole lot because I think the Browns did a really good job of the first down run rep, which they have been terrible at for like a month before this game.
Yeah.
Giving up 5 or 6 yards on a first down run. They've done that they almost all season. They were giving up 0 to 2 yard runs on first down. And that takes the rushing offense away when you have Tom Brady, who can just throw little dink passes and basically act as a run game.
Yeah,
so
it's kind of funny if someone just watched the first two drives of both offenses.
I think the games to be in the 40s, right?
I think if you told them it was what was the final score, 23-17. I think I think both teams would. I think you would like. What are you talking?
This game's gonna go into overtime, tied at 17.
Right. It was pretty funny. So, and then the last one, you were right. You had the Browns winning 24-20, very close, to the actual score. I had Bucks 24-17. So if I had the Browns, I would have been right almost right on.
But, yeah.
So you were 6-2, 5, and I was 5-3, and which is crazy. The season total is now tied 35-31. So
no separation,
no separation here. Okay, so heading into this week, Browns are right now -7 according to FanDuel. What you got?
I'll take the -7.
Same. Yeah, I think
they'll cover.
Yeah, so okay, so we're both taking the Browns. Yeah, I think we talked about it all on this podcast. I think we should, they better be winning by 7. Is what I don't see how they can't be kind of easily winning this game, but you never know. It's Cleveland Browns. This one's an interesting one. It's over under 47.5 points.
It's high.
It is high, but it is inside, so the weather is not a factor this week. Deshaun Watson is back, so I think they're factoring in that.
I'll go over. I think
over.
Until the Browns show that they have this kind of defense week in, week out, it's hard for me to say that the Browns are going to win 31-7 and keep this as an under. I think even if the Browns score 31 points, the Texans are probably going to manage 20. So I'm going to go over.
I'm going to go over too. I was leaning towards under because I don't know if the Texans can score. But
no, I mean, they're averaging 15 points a game, but I don't trust this defense yet.
That's what I'm saying, too. Yeah. I only give the nod. Now, if we see last week's defense, then this is under, I think. But
I mean, if they play the defense the same way they did the other night or the other day, I'm not sure the Texans can score.
Yeah, right. So I'm gonna go over. I feel like this one's probably the toughest one to pick here. It's just it could go either way, depending on what Browns team shows up. Really,
yeah.
Okay, next one is Chubb over 90 or over under 91.5 rushing yards.
I'm gonna go over. I think they're gonna rely on him more. They're gonna rely on the run game more this week, I think. Yeah. Just to kind of ease Watson into the offense.
I know we're all agreeing on all these, but yeah, I agree on this one. I think this is an easy over. As we talked about, this is a terrible run defense, worse than the Browns, which is terrible. Yeah. So I think he easily gets it. And then as we were talking about, I think the presence of Watson kind of negates anybody's and all the defense coordinators that have been kind of filling up the box. They can't do that anymore. So,
yeah.
So I think over on that one. Next one, this is our first Deshaun Watson's kind of prediction here. I'm just going with total yards here. So rushing and passing, 320 over under.
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 Basically for the same reason I just said that I think they're going to rely on Chubb a little more. I don't think – I mean, if Watson comes out and throws for 350 in his first game back, ESPN might bury it. But, like, I could see it, but I don't think that that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to save – I think they're going to try to save that for a better team.
Okay.
That being said, if they're down 17-7 in the second quarter
– then he might throw for 400 yards.
Then he might have to light it up. And it'll be just, I mean, it'll be just like he's back on the Texans.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. So you go under. I'm going to go over. I think he'll get more rushing yards than we think. I just think kind of Stefanski's offense kind of, it's perfectly fit for him. And I think it has a lot of untapped running for the quarterback in it that we haven't seen because we haven't had a running quarterback. Baker showed it a little bit because he could scramble a little bit, but like we're seeing a whole different dynamic here. And I just think he's going to get at least, I think maybe like 50 yards or something. That's my prediction. My bold prediction there. So he doesn't have to get 300 yards passing. I think he'll get a lot of rushing yards. And
in my own head, I was thinking, is 260-60 possible? And I was like,
I think it definitely is.
I think it's within the realm, but I don't know if they'll want to run him that much.
Right.
So I think that's what my ultimate decision for under was.
Yeah. I think a lot of it might be just like his scrambling too.
Yeah.
I think we might see a lot because I can picture just all the reps that Jacoby took. Like there's a lot of opportunities. Like I think back on where like he could pull off some runs. So
yeah,
I think that's why he's going to get over on that one. Over under Cooper 100 receiving yards.
I'm going to go under here. Under. Not by much. I think a lot of games he's been ending between 85 and 95. I think that's probably where he'll end again. Mm-hmm. So I think that'll be the under for that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go under too. It's going to be interesting to see who his kind of favorite becomes. I kind of have an inkling that it might be Njoku. Because he really liked his tight ends in Houston. It didn't matter who it was. It could be a bum. he went through a lot of tight ends and he made names for them. And then when they left, they were nothing. So, it's going to be interesting to see who he kind of targets, but I think Njoku might be his favorite target. So I don't think Cooper gets to 100. I think he'll have a good game. It'll still be Cooper, but I don't think he'll hit 100.
Yeah.
Next one is Texans 90 total rushing yards over under. They average, I think it was 70 something.
Or, 78.
Yeah, 78. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see this one. So where are you at?
I'm going to go over. I think if they're going to move the ball at all, it's probably going to be that way. I don't think it'll be – well, I don't hope it is. I don't hope it's this, and I don't think it will be. I don't think it'll be 160 or something, something stupid. I think if they do go over, it'll be, you know, 105, 115. I mean, they're still not a good offense. If – any rushing yards they gain is going to be because the Browns defense is so bad at stopping.
True. Yeah. Okay. So you go over, I'm going to go under. I think the Texans had, I think Damian Pierce last week had like 8 yards or something. And I know obviously that's the Miami Dolphins.
We watched the Dolphins did to us. So.
Right. True. True. But I'm going to go under. I just think the offense is going to score a lot, and I think the Texans are just not going to be able to run. I really hope that Joe Woods has a sense of just packing the box and just making Kyle Allen beat you.
Yeah.
So I just hope that happens. So I'm going to go under, but this is a tough one. Because I can see them just going, reverting back to their mean and kind of getting gouged by Damian Pierce all day. But we'll see. I'm going to go under. I'm going to have the hope there. next one is most touchdown receptions. Cooper, Njoku, Donovan Peoples-Jones, or the field?
I'm going to go with Peoples-Jones this week.
Ah, okay. I like that one. I'm going to go in Njoku. As I said, I think Watson loves tight ends and it likes to target him in the red zone especially. So I think he'll go in Njoku on that one. And you said DPJ. Okay, I like that one. He has just produced every week. Last week he produced as a receiver, but he just did unbelievable job as a returner. So
I think he's someone that's going to benefit the most from Watson's ability to read the whole field. There was so much film, especially from early in the season, where he was open just standing in the middle of the field and Brissett just kind of didn't see him.
Yeah.
So I think he stands to benefit the most. He and Njoku stand to benefit the most from the transition in quarterback. I think Cooper has done far better than we expected with Brissett. So, his Cooper's production could increase, but his production is pretty damn good as it is. So,
okay. So, last thing is the final score prediction. What you got?
I did pick the over. I'm going to go 34 to 20.
34 Browns, 34 to 20. Okay. I'm actually some of that. I'm going 31-20. I think we agree that it's going to be a high-scoring game.
I think there's a very real possibility that it's 31 to 10 or 31 to 13 and then they score a touchdown late.
Yeah.
Right.
And all the overs people will be rejoice.
Yeah.
Going back to what you were saying, this is a get right game, man. Like it just seems like it came at the perfect time. The Browns are coming off the biggest win of the season. The vibes are good in the locker room right now. They got their franchise quarterback back. I feel like this is a get right game, and I feel like they're gonna play probably their best we're going to see one of their best performances of the year. So I think, I think 31-20. And I don't think it's going to be as close as what that score kind of illustrates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So any final thoughts before we get out of here? This is our longest preview pod, I think.
They better not lose.
That's basically it. Don't be stupid. Don't kill yourself.
Don't let Damian Pierce run for 175 yards.
Don't let the only guy on the Houston Texans roster beat you. Just don't be Brownsy.
Don't get any more offensive linemen hurt.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Come out of it healthy, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's basically it. Yeah. this is not a hard game to kind of talk about because it's basically just out talent them and don't yourself.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. This is another edition of the WFNY Browns cast with Joe and Taylor. We'll be back after the game, probably right after or close to it on Sunday, following this hopefully big win by the Browns. And we'll talk to you later and go Browns.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And, yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dean Archipotis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.